Hi, Blue Wire listeners. I'm Greg Olson. I'm excited to partner with Blue Wire to bring you TE1, a podcast where I interview the tight ends who have revolutionized the position. Listen in as I have raw, in-depth conversations with the all-time greats like Shannon Sharp, Tony Gonzalez, Travis Kelce, and George Kittle. We'll explore how the tight end position has changed over the last 60 years and what it takes to be the very best. Subscribe to TE1 from Blue Wire Studios today so you're ready for the August premiere.
Baker Mayfield, undraftable, off my board.
The Cleveland Browns select Baker Mayfield.
Welcome, everybody, to this week's edition of the OBR Film Breakdown Podcast. I hope this podcast finds you and yours well. We're excited to talk about some Browns topics that are pertinent this week. It might be one of the last, hopefully one of the last few weeks with slow news in terms of the importance to the season. And before we get some live on-field action as well, so we're excited to break some of those things down. Have a great guest coming on. Before we do so, I am going to again talk to you about our friends at betonline.ag. Make sure you are going there and taking advantage of the betting opportunities that are now in front of you. Obviously, the NBA has kicked up. The games mean something. Major League Baseball is finding a little bit of a groove here after their scare. Both of those seem like they're going to be around for a little while. Make sure you go to betonline.ag, use that promo code BLUEWIRE, and get that welcome bonus, and go make some money. It's in there. It's the opportunity is there. Make some money. The NFL will be back. You can bet on futures in the NFL. You can also do their 24-hour blackjack and poker that are always available to you. So make sure you go there. Take advantage of that welcome bonus. It's not like other sites where the welcome bonus is deceptive. You don't know how to get it. It's there. You can't release the funds. I don't know, man. It's head-scratching. They don't do that at betonline.ag, so make sure you take advantage of the opportunities they have there. We're a big believer in them, and they believe in Blue Wire. It's been a great partnership, and I hope you guys are taking advantage of it. Again, that is betonline.ag, your online wagering experts. So, busy week in terms of news, but the news wasn't all too serious. So players that were on the COVID-19 list came off the COVID-19 list. Big names such as Dontrell Hilliard, such as Jamie Gillen have come off. The Browns have had some opt-outs happen. We're going to talk about all of that. And we're going to kind of try to talk about what's going on with college football as well towards the end of this too. So I'm going to welcome in a man who would much rather be in Dublin right now. I hope I didn't hit a sore spot right there. Sobo, how are you, man?
Oh, sore, poking the bruise. It's so bad, my friend. I'm literally sitting here with a 15 ABV stout from the beautiful Hop and Frog Brewery, Northeast Ohio represent. Just because I felt the need to have some type of big, beautiful beer in hand since I was supposed to be in Ireland all this week, this coming week. So, yes, poking that bruise a little bit. It's been a little disheartening. I know there's people going through much worse right now in their lives, so I'm not trying to downplay that at all. Just disappointing on my end. That's all, my friend.
Well, do you get the – do they refund all of that, or do they let you delay it, or how's that work?
Fortunately, our entire trip, which was – basically prepaid for that we started planning out November, December, has been refunded because let's use a couple instances. We were flying through Finnair, which is the primary, airplane, you know, the system within Ireland, right? Mm-hmm. So because they had to cancel flights and because of the shutdown of the EU to United States passengers, they were able to give full refunds, which was nice. The only people that were really difficult to work with was some people in Airbnb, but we know how that can be here in the United States, let alone in other countries.
Mm-hmm. Well, man, look, I hope it works out at some point. That's the type of dream trip. We make a yearly trip out to Wyoming. We're going out there the first week of September, and I'm hoping that can still come to fruition. But you never know. Things change week to week. And speaking of week to week, look, dude, they introduced some of these players in these uniforms. And this is me personally. I liked the uniforms when they unveiled them and they had the random guy who was a staffer wearing them with the visor. I didn't know who he was. I was really interested to see what they look like on the players. And let me say, I was high on the uniforms before. I'm higher on them now. You get the sleeves going with them. You get the full effect of the socks. It's a beautiful uniform. What are your takeaways?
Oh, so clean. So good looking. So classic. So Cleveland Browns. And that's the way, really, that it should be, a way it should have been this entire time, instead of trying to serve as the Oregon Ducks of the NFL, as kind of they were portrayed the last time the Cleveland Browns changed uniforms. Look, I understand when it comes to this organization in the last 20 years, basically need to be wiped from existence. But one of the few things that identify the proud nation of Cleveland Browns fans and just the franchise in general is those colors and the simplicity and elegance in that uniform. And the one thing I will say is this, the one big difference that we saw in this was the brown face masks. Mm-hmm. And they work, Jake. I wasn't sure if they would or not after years of white face masks and then gray face masks, but that brown looks pretty spiffy.
It does. It really sets the whole thing together. And I'm with you. I was a stern advocate for the going back to the white face mask. And I still think it would have looked clean, but I can also handle this brown. And it kind of does signify that they didn't go all the way back. They kept some modern touches. I think eventually we get the orange pants that everybody really likes and hopes we get to see those. Those seem like almost a certainty. And the color rush will be a little bit more basic, but I think it might end up looking okay too. So I'm excited. The guys look good in them. They seem to really like them. Uniforms don't equal wins, but it's okay to say you look good, you feel good. You typically play good too. That's been my experience. So, but I was a pretty boy. I wasn't the guy up front. You know, I was a pretty boy. But
quarterback.
Oh, there's no doubt, man. No doubt. I was a pretty boy. Had to look good.
Not a big ugly like on this end of the conversation.
Well, that's why we mesh well, the yin and the yang, my friend. So listen, let's talk about you talk about offensive linemen. That's what we got to talk about, which is the Browns had four of them. I think the Browns had the second most opt-outs. Now, none of these opt-outs were a big deal, kind of. You could make it a big deal, but it's none of them were big-name players or starters or anything of that nature. They ended up with, before the 4 o'clock deadline, we knew about Drew Forbes, we knew about Drake Dorbeck, Colby Gossett of recent, and then today, Malcolm Pridgen, all of which are offensive linemen, all of which are pretty much guys that were going to compete along the interior for the most part. So the Browns are a little thin along their interior. The fifth player is Andrew Billings, which I'll ask you about in a moment. But so the Browns lose, I don't know, most of their competition for the interior offensive line as far as the reserve roles go. Are you of the belief that they need to add somebody along there, some sort of veteran, nothing crazy, just maybe a cheap, like Klein from Minnesota type, like a guy who can be a guard when they need them? Or do you think between Nick Harris, the rookie out of Washington, and then, you know, obviously your two swing tackles, Kendall Lamb and Chris Hubbard, that they can piece that together if they need to?
Well, the way they look at it, Jake, is very simple. Your top eight is already set, especially Drew Forbes now out of the equation, because you have your starting five, which you're projected as Wills, Betonio, Treader, Teller, and then Jack Conklin at right tackle. Behind them, you have Hubbard as your utility lineman who has experience and or work at all five positions along the offensive front. You have your rookie in Nick Harris, who's a developmental center, ideal fit for the system. Don't forget they went out and signed Evan Brown this year. That might be a big-time under-the-radar type signing when it comes to what they're doing. And I also should mention Kendall Lamb as a swing tackle. So, I mean, now you're looking 8 to 9 offensive linemen that could legitimately come in and contribute. Now, with Brown, for example, he has experience at guard and center. Nick Harris in college played a little guard before starting 3 years at center, so you have some flexibility up front there as well. But I will say this. When it comes to positions, everyone says you can't have too many good quarterbacks or too many good cornerbacks. In this case, you can't have too many good blockers, especially in today's day and age when it's so hard to develop the position. And so when you lose that many guys, yes, they're depth, second string at best, third string more likely in most of those cases. But you want to have guys that can come and compete, guys that can really help set the tone for the entire unit, because you're never sure exactly what's going to happen. And this is more pertinent than ever. Yes, we know about the pandemic, but let's look at the rosters and how they're being built out. Based on the agreement that we've seen with the NFLPA and owners, you will now have a 16-man practice squad. And two of those guys, even before all this began, was supposed to be called up on a regular basis to serve as an extra offensive lineman. Well, who will that be now? And that's really a big question mark. And if you're allowed to have six guys among those 16, doesn't matter their experience level to be placed on the practice squad, you can start manipulating your roster to have talent, veterans, or at least guys have played in this league on your roster and not necessarily taking up a vital spot from someone else or a developmental prospect, let's say Alex Taylor, that you really like within the organization. And so that's really what this is all going to come down to, the final makeup of the not only the 53-man roster, or excuse me, 55-man now roster now, and that 16-man practice squad, because it's important to not only have 9 to 10 guys within those two bunches, but let's not forget, you need to go through training camp with a third offensive line as well.
Yeah.
You need to have guys that can get reps and let the other big boys rest a little bit, and that's really where Cleveland's going to be hurting.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they will need those guys like traditional camps, because they're going to be so condensed in their approach and getting ready that I feel like maybe those third team reps that you would have seen are going to kind of go out the window, because Kevin Stefanski knows, hey man, I got 14 padded practices before this season starts, and I'm completely installing this entirely new system, and I got to get these guys. And same on the other side of the football too. I just feel like this year, above all else, it might be a year where they really say, I know we're threatening kind of wearing these guys down, but at the same time, there's no preseason games. We're going into week one. We got to be ready to rock and roll. So it's going to be first and some second team heavy, and they're just going to kind of weed those guys out. It's a great point by you, Sobo, that it's Evan Brown is going to get – this is the door opens, right? The door closes, the door opens. Alex Taylor's going to get a real shot. Willie Wright's going to get a real shot. Evan Brown's going to get a real shot. I think they bring somebody else in, probably not a name that any of us will recognize, but it will be somebody that we'll have to, you know, dig a little bit on, figure it out. But they'll bring somebody. They just have to bring some bodies in to fill the practice squad. And then if things get real weird, because you never know, it certainly is a situation where they need some people. Now,
well, I was going to mention real quick, Jake, when you look at it, what's going to be the key word to this entire training camp and, well, I guess for lack of a better term, preseason, even though games won't be played? Cross-training. When you come to NFL offensive linemen, they're going to have to be able to back up multiple positions and practice at multiple positions. So when you look at where Cleveland's current lineup is, let's take the starting five out of the equation, because they're pretty locked in who we expect them to be. But Evan Brown, guard center. Nick Harris, guard center. Willie Wright, guard center. Alex Taylor, right left tackle. Chris Hubbard, all five positions. Lamb, right left tackle. You better be able to play multiple positions and contribute it either at a competent level. Otherwise, you won't be with this team for very long.
Well, I was in the camp as I wrote up something this week as an idea about potentially moving Chris Hubbard, because if a team like Denver, who's dealing with, I would say average at best, really below average tackle play even before Juwan James decided to opt out, you know, a team could come calling with maybe a round 3, round 4 pick for Chris Hubbard. As the day wore on and more opt-outs happened, I started to lean away from it. It's just something that I was interested in, that if, you know, this is going to be a weird year anyway, if a team comes along and you could collect a future asset and what's going to be a really interesting draft, I was throwing the idea out there. I know you weren't all too receptive of it, which that's okay, and I understand why. But, you know, share with everybody sort of your thoughts on if really, genuinely so, if Denver calls and says, hey, man, we will give you a third in the 2021 draft, would you take that third-round pick?
That tweet and I tacked it like there was a bone thrown in a yard with a bunch of dogs when you look at the way. Because depth is such an issue right now. And this is the case every year in the NFL, especially in recent years, because of the lack of development with the offensive line position. And this is something that's not discussed enough. If you remember, Jake, going back, look, let's look at like the late 90s, early 2000s, and you had a run of offensive linemen with when you had Orlando Pace and Chris Samuels and Walter Jones and Tony Baselli and so on and so forth, Jonathan Ogden. You know, these are guys that the second you saw them, you knew they were going to be NFL studs, period, point blank. There was no question in anyone's mind. I remember a quote that always sticks out in my mind from a former NFL scout that stated, you can identify a franchise left tackle in one series because you know exactly what he's bringing to the table. Well, that you can't do that anymore unless it's Oregon's Penei Sewell in the way he plays. But even that's a question mark because you have so many limitations, not only on how much they're allowed to practice, but schematically. And then on top of it, the physicality of the position, which isn't to the same level that we were accustomed to growing up in, well, for me in the 80s into the 90s, before we saw the transition into these spread offenses more consistently. So that is always a concern. Now you double that concern because you don't know exactly what you're going to have at that position and who's going to be ready to play once they come to the NFL level. So whether it be a draft pick like Nick Harris, who I've pointed out is an ideal system fit based on his skill set with his lateral agility, I think you still have the time for him to grow and learn and really be ready at the NFL level. One of the issues that's always at the forefront with young offensive linemen, and Cameron Irving's the greatest example of this you can potentially come up with, is functional playing strength and lack thereof coming out of collegiate programs as opposed to working year-round in NFL weight training programs. And so all these things factor into it. And when you look at someone like Chris Hubbard, I'm on record and said it a million times. The Cleveland Browns had probably the worst offensive tackle tandem in the NFL last year. Now, a lot of that also had to do with Greg Robinson and his lack of development. But at the same time, Chris Hubbard had trouble anchoring. So many times you saw him set a soft edge and et cetera, et cetera. But when you have someone with that experience that's capable of playing five different positions, that is your sixth, maybe seventh offensive lineman, that's very valuable comparatively when you look around the league and what's actually available for that type of role. And so keeping him at the expense of I don't want to say a third round draft pick, because I think that would be ludicrous for any team to offer a third round draft pick for Chris Hubbard.
Yeah.
But a tempting offer for a draft pick is not in the team's best interest short term. Long term, yeah, obviously you can rationalize it. But when you're looking to compete now, as opposed to a team in Cleveland that's been rebuilding and they've reached a point where they want to compete consistently, you need to have those type of veterans like Chris Hubbard on your roster, because inevitably you're going to have an injury, or you're going to have a positive COVID-19 test, and then they're placed on IR for 3 weeks, and you need to have someone to jump in immediately and not have a gigantic drop-off in level of play. And so that's why I jumped into that immediately, because I just felt that this is the wrong time to sacrifice quality depth for the future of the franchise.
I'm with it. And the good thing about this group is, you know, Chris Hubbard is a guy that they wanted to stick around, a guy who on his end wanted to stick around Cleveland. Anytime you see a contract restructuring, it's always a positive for both sides, because that means there's a desire for that guy to be here from a coach front office perspective, and the player enjoys it enough at the place he's at that, you know, he wants to can handle a restructure of some kind, possibly lose more in the long run, but at least, you know, be able to stick around a place when he could maybe desire to be cut and go somewhere else and guaranteed to start. I think the writing was on the wall for Chris, but he was okay with stepping back. So that was good to see. And two, you know, to wrap this offensive line discussion up, the good thing to me is you have a bunch of guys. We talk about the flexibility of the second group. The first group's going to have a lot of flexibility too, because you have a guard in Joel Bitonio who has tackle experience, can play either side if he needs to along the interior. I think J.C. Treader could step outside and play a guard if he needed to in a tight pickle. And both of your tackles are guys that have played both sides throughout their career. Obviously, Jed's going to be moving to an entirely new side in general, but if some sort of tweak had to happen and someone had to go somewhere else, Jack Conklin has played both sides dating back to his Michigan State days. It's a good, flexible group, and if the status quo remains, maybe they add another interior piece or two, but it's encouraging, and I really have enjoyed reading a lot of the people who are, you know, data analysts and kind of the people who rank offensive lines, like Brandon Thorne, go through and say, I think Cleveland genuinely has a high ceiling top 10 type offensive line if it all comes together. So that to me is really encouraging. Great points brought up by you about Hubbard. I don't think it'll obviously come to fruition, but it was worth at least chatting about, because it could become interesting as some teams find themselves in a real pickle, and the Browns have at least two guys there with Kendall Lamb too, who have genuine tackle starting experience, and that can mean something, especially as teams might get really thin and the Browns could be included. So I understand your side of it. Before we transition to our last point today, going to talk to you about Deal Dash, right? They've jumped on with us here at Blue Wire. They're an auction site, really an honest bidding site, if we want to say that, where you can win things you never expected, a price you can't really even fathom. They have thousands of auctions every day on electronics, appliances, beauty products, home decor, all the way out to even cars. So it's like an auction. Every time an item comes up, it starts at $0. It goes up 1 cent every bid. The kicker is that the auction starts at 10 seconds after every bid. So that somebody doesn't top your bid in 10 seconds, you get that item at a ridiculously cheap price. So if you go ahead and go to Deal Dash right now, they're offering listeners an extra 100 free bids upon sign up on top of their other discounts. So go to DealDash.com, use that promo code, which is specific for this podcast and our listeners. The promo code is Breakdown, obvious spelling, all one word, Breakdown. And you can also go to deal-.fm/breakdown to use that as well. So that's deal-DEALDASH.FM/breakdown. So go take advantage of the opportunities at Deal Dash. Now, so, but before we close today, man, I want to ask you about the craziness that's happening in college football, man. Like, we obviously saw, and it's not craziness, it's just guys making a weighted decision on what they think their future is worth at this point. We saw Rondale Moore opt out today. We saw Rashad Bateman obviously opt out. I think Micah Parsons opted out. And then another, I think the cornerback from Virginia Tech, whose name's slipping my mind at this moment. But where do you think this is going? Like, do you think we're going to have all of the big names? I mean, Justin Fields has said he's staying. It's interesting to me. We haven't seen anybody really, for their own purpose, opt out for maybe the top five competing pro. Penn State's obviously very good, but like the top five competing programs, Clemson, Ohio State, Alabama. We haven't seen any of those happen yet. Do you think that's coming? And do you think anybody who says, hey, man, I'm a top 20 pick, like my Florida's Rousseau, the defensive ed, obviously he opted out too. Do you think more of these are coming along some sort of fringe guys? Or do you think we're going to see most of the big name teams that they say, hey, we got 10 games here, maybe we get to play a national championship game independent, something like that? Do you think they're going to stick it out, write it out, and see what's up?
Well, the way I'm looking at it, Jake, is first of all, when you have the quarterbacks, we know they're going to be protected. And this is something that was discussed with the Cincinnati Bengals, something I wrote about recently regarding how they're protecting that position. Obviously, you're not trying to completely transpose what a professional team is doing comparatively to these programs. But at the same time, the quarterbacks are such high priority for the game that they're going to do everything they can to make sure that they're healthy, that they stay away or as much as possible from their teammates, that they're basically isolating them within the program unto itself. So someone like Fields or Trevor Lawrence, you expect them to play. The name I will be waiting to hear about, again, I mentioned Sewell earlier from Oregon, offensive lineman. To me, the number one prospect in this year's class. We know that when it comes to the bigger guys in football, it's a question mark. I mean, not necessarily obesity, but you look at sleep apnea on Andrew Billings, for example, in the Cleveland Browns with asthma. These things all play a factor. I'm curious, someone like Jamar Chase from LSU, what's his final decision? We already know and seen his ability, great film, a guy that you were looking at as a potential top five, top 10 pick, Micah Parsons, top 10 pick, Rousseau, probably the top rated defensive player in this year, or maybe the next 2021 draft. So these are guys that are weighing their long-term financial flexibility as opposed to 1 year of staying on campus and continuing to play. And they're making what I would say is the right decision because there's so much uncertainty overall. And there's so much with college football, there's so much up in the air that we just don't know. It's even worse in the NFL. And I said recently on social media that in 10 years of covering the NFL, this is the most uncertain I can possibly remember when it comes to how fluid information is. And let me just give you an example. I mentioned Billings. When you look at when he immediately assumed it was a regular opt-out. I did reach out to someone within the organization. They didn't even know if he was a high-risk opt-out. Then he says he has asthma, yet we don't even know if asthma is considered high-risk when it comes to the agreement between the NFLPA and owners. And there's so much back and forth and so much going on and changing on a daily basis that you're just trying to keep up in most instances. Even if you're ahead of the curve, you're already behind. It's like buying a new computer. And so when I look at what these guys are doing, they're making the best decisions personally, just like those opting out for their families at the professional level. It's very personal. It's their decision, and people can call them selfish. They can call them quitters, and that reflects more on the people making those statements than those individuals who made the actual decision. And that's the way I've looked at it all along. I believe a huge influx of talent will now have, 9 months to get ready for the NFL draft. I mean, these guys aren't aren't small fish when it comes to the NFL draft. I mentioned Rousseau could be top 3-4. Parsons, easily top 10. When you look at where Caleb Farley may be, he's coming off a major injury, but if he's healthy with his body, with his athleticism and raw natural tools as a coverage corner at 6'2", 207 pounds, he could be the very first corner off the board. I mean, these guys know where they stand from a draft perspective. You're not getting guys that are, you know, maybe fringe first-rounders or have questionable draft status. These are guys that are legit top guys that are making decision now instead of waiting because they don't need to take that risk. And I actually applaud them for it. In some cases, I wouldn't do that in previous years based on, you know, just playing the game, much like Christian McCaffrey did when he didn't play in his bowl game. But that's a whole nother conversation. These young men understand and are trying to protect their long-term earning capability, and I applaud them for that because, look, college football doesn't have a plan. It doesn't. And now they're putting too much emphasis on conferences. They're putting too much emphasis on everything but having a cohesive and organizational plan ready for all these young men to really feel safe and capable of playing this season. So kudos to those that made a decision. It's not easy. They have to wait a long time to eventually realize their dream, but they will do so. And those who have opted out will still be very high draft picks.
Yeah, those who opt out are definitely going to be the guys who have cemented their draft stock. You know, they could have helped it maybe a little bit, but for the most part, the names that we have heard, or at least the names who have been very public, are those guys who are going to go high in the first round. And listen, this might open the door for some other guys to get an opportunity. If football does come to happen at the college level in some form, hopefully the safest form possible, it could give the opportunity for some guys to make a name. And I think that's why you won't see everybody opt out, right? You're going to see some guys who say, I see this as an opportunity to make a name, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, I made this comparison before on the show, but I'll state it again because it's the most obvious thing. Joe Burrow was not the number one overall pick a year ago. No one thought that. No one on this planet assumed he was going to be the guy, that he was going to step into LSU last season and do what he did. And they looked at him as a mediocre talent. Mm-hmm. And so when you have that opportunity, the rise before your eyes, and really step in and outperform expectations, you could place yourself in a great position. And yes, when it comes to the 2021 NFL draft, it's going to look somewhat as an NBA style draft because you're projecting so much with some of these elite talents, but we have film on them. Mm-hmm. You know, Rousseau as a redshirt freshman last year was number 2 in college football in sacks. You know, it's not like he didn't play at all, or everyone is just thinking he's coming straight out of high school like the NBA. And you think he can be an elite talent eventually. You know he already is one. You already know that Micah Parsons is a guy that has tremendous athleticism. He's actually a very adept rushing the passer from the linebacker position because he's a converted defensive end. Yeah, he still needs work dropping and understanding his angles and coverage. But at the same time, these are things you can work on at the next level because you know he has the translatable traits that make him an elite prospect, and that's not going to change between now and next April.
No doubt. It's going to be interesting next 30 days I know they all have been, but really as football actually lands in our lap, the NFL seems to, for the most part now, have it settled with their opt-out date passing, but you know, college is, it's so fluid. There's so many different things happening conference to conference, and some teams are still doing crazy things like suggesting fans are actually going to be in the stands. I don't know. We're going to have to see where it goes. But right now it's not off to a great start, and we're losing out on a season from the fans' perspective where we could have seen some really special talents at the college level. And hopefully, like we said, those guys stay healthy, get into the draft, and those dreams come true for them. So, you know, we'll keep talking about this. We'll always keep looking at prospects for the Browns. That's what we do. It's what Sobo does and what the OBR prides itself on in general. Before we go, Sobo, anything to plug, my friend?
Just training camp coverage, and everyone, please be very patient. For the OBR, we'll have boots on the ground with Fred, greet them as always. But at the same time, It's going to be very different, and you're not going to get real-time updates. Yeah. The NFL has made it to where there's going to be a very small pool of reporters / TV figures actually allowed near the practice field. And all of that information has to be disseminated through all local outlets and national outlets. And so if you're expecting minute-by-minute updates on Twitter for training camp, it's not coming, because Twitter is outlawed at camp coverage this year. And so I'll already give a mea culpa from those of us at the OBR, because of we can't be on top of things as much as we normally would. And that's just a byproduct of this, of where we are in the times that we're currently dealing with. And, you know, for someone like myself, tomorrow I'll be covering for Bleacher Report, just basically handling the news and reacting as best as possible. But at the same time, you can't do that as quickly as you normally would. So be patient, enjoy that we have football while we have it. And just, obviously I'm tentative, Jake, and it's in my voice, I can tell, but at the same time, because I don't know what to expect. And we've reached a point where it's time to move forward, but how far are we actually going to get? And that's the question that's in my mind every time I try to answer a question when it comes to what we should expect this season.
Yeah, I'm having a fun time pretending right now. It might come crashing down, but it's at least fun to, in my mind, entertain the fact that we might have football. So until that day comes, until that unfortunate event spirals in front of our eyes, I'm just going to pretend it's going to happen, because it's what I love most. It's what I enjoy talking about. It's what I write about. It's what I do. It's what you do. Obviously, we do it for a living. We'll just, you know, we'll keep pretending as long as we can and hope that the best shakes out and everybody stays healthy. At the end of the day, we just want everyone to stay healthy. You don't want long-term ramifications for these guys doing it, so we'll keep our fingers crossed. Sobo, thanks for joining me, man. This is always fun, always insightful. We will continue to have you on the Breakdown Pod as often as we can.
Well, Jake, I want to throw a quick little nugget out there based on our earlier conversation, because it hit me like a ton of bricks, and I started giggling to myself while you were speaking. The Cleveland Browns have 3 collegiate left tackles starting along their offensive line.
Yeah, that's kind of a wild fact.
The one who wasn't is going to be the team's starting left tackle.
Yeah. Well, that's a tweet for tomorrow. Put it out there, because people will get a chuckle out of that. I will, at least.
Yeah. It struck me, because even J.C. Treader played left tackle in Cornell.
Yeah. So they're 4 left tackles deep. So that tells you they got the, well, 3, and then we're about to get a 4th.
Yeah, Wyatt Teller was a guard.
So. Yeah, that's right.
He actually converted from defensive tackle, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, he did, actually. That is right. So they got a bunch of mixed guys playing a bunch of different positions, so we'll hope it pans out. Thanks again, buddy.
Yes, you too. Have a good one, man.
All right, that's a wrap for today's episode. Hopefully you enjoyed it. A lot of things going on with the Browns. Like Sobo said, we're trying to do the best we can at the OBR. We'll get some streamed coverage that you will also obviously be able to dive into when the Browns decide to stream it. What that coverage entails, we don't know yet. We don't know if they'll just show individual periods. I highly doubt they're going to show team periods with full plays, because that's just kind of silly nonsense. You'll get some things, you won't get much, but we'll break down as much as we can and as much as we can get through their media department, and as much as we can get through Fred Greetham, who will be able to go there occasionally. We will do the best that we can for you. We will have some photos up in the coming days that the Browns have provided to us, little galleries. We'll do some galleries each day. Again, the best we can until we get the TV stuff that will be actual translatable data that we can talk about, break down, and analyze, as we only do at the OBR, the best in the market. So, huge shout out to Sobo spending some time with me tonight. Thanks again for joining us. Appreciate you guys joining us. Again, it is not too late to join us at the OBR. Subscribe with us. Become a part of the community. It's growing. It's fantastic. Love what we do, and love that you guys support us. Make sure you're subscribing to us on iTunes. Make sure you are giving us those 5 stars, if possible, if you believe in us. And also, make sure you leave us a comment about what you like about the podcast. Always appreciate it. So, until next week, we appreciate you joining us, and go Browns.